I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A. And we are very happy to welcome some new artists to our studios who we haven't had in as guests before. And they are a duo called Intuitive Compass. Welcome.
All right.
Hi, nice to be here.
And they are Jason and Aurelia. And where are you based?
Southern Oregon's Applegate Valley.
Okay. And they are in town, so they've come all the way from Oregon. You probably weren't there yesterday, but you started from there at some point and are here in town for a show at Sir Ben's Tavern in downtown Duluth at 6 o'clock tonight, right?
That's right, yeah.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to learn a little bit more about the two of you. And why don't you start with a song, and then we'll come back and chat a little bit. What do you want to start with?
All right. This is a brand new song called Four Winds Calling.
That is Intuitive Compass live from Studio A. Well, great tune. And so I was looking at the description, how you describe it. You know, one of the hardest things for a band is trying to describe what your music sounds like. It's kind of a pain to have to come up with something, but I think you guys did pretty well. Original Western folk music.
Yeah, it's sort of an umbrella term, but yeah. It's done the job.
Yeah. So you're based in Oregon. Are you from there originally?
So I grew up in Northwest Wisconsin. Aurelia here is from Tucson, Arizona. We met in Colorado.
Okay.
But we have been based in Oregon now since 2011.
Yeah. And how long have you been playing together?
Since 2011.
Oh, okay,
January,
so it's been...
I think, of
okay.
2011.
And just reading your bio, it sounds like you travel a lot of interesting places, especially along the West Coast there and up to Alaska.
Oh, yeah, Duluth included.
We are pretty interesting here, for sure.
My first time here. It's very nice.
Well, welcome.
So many beautiful houses.
It is beautiful. I'm sorry that you're here when it's so cold, but...
I kind of love it, really.
Do you? All right. Well, you've been to some pretty cool places already, I guess. So, So you started doing this music, but you also do, do you do other music as well? I know, Aurelia, you were mentioning that Jason has his own solo stuff that he does.
Yeah, Jason Day West just released his first solo album, Journey in Today, and it's what songs you wrote over the past decade.
So I've been playing music my whole life in various bands, and finally got around to recording this solo album, which feels great. Released it a couple weeks ago at a beautiful cafe in Menominee, Wisconsin, my hometown, and I'll be touring it throughout the summer. And it's kind of nice to essentially open for myself. You know, I play with Aurelia here with Intuitive Compass, but I've been opening a lot of shows as Jason Day West.
Oh, okay.
Which I'll be doing again tonight.
Oh, okay. So what's the difference? What do you do differently?
I guess the difference is a lot of these songs that I'm performing as a solo, I just could never find the appropriate backing. They weren't quite Intuitive Compass songs. They were my songs. They were intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's essentially just me and a guitar telling you stories.
And it looks like the two of you write all of the songs for Intuitive Compass.
Yeah, we have a couple covers that we've put out there in the public.
Okay.
Some old comforting nostalgia.
Mm-hmm. Well, kind of the genre that you do, it seems like there would be some songs it would be really tempting to cover that
we
would
really
fit.
We really enjoy the old Western balladry stuff and traditional folk music.
Yeah, lots of different influence.
And untraditional folk music.
Was your preference for that kind of music, was that one thing that kind of brought you together musically?
Well, I'm a circus performer by trade originally, and I've always written songs, but I didn't pick up the accordion until I think it was 2012, really, in any serious way.
Mm-hmm.
And so music that lends itself well to vaudeville acts or to spectacle, and as a dancer, I always wanted to create soundscapes to perform to, because a lot of the time as a dancer or as a theater person, you're looking for something to accompany a grander vision, and it's hard to find sometimes exactly what it is you want to move to, or you want to present a piece of art to. And so that's Jason's an amazing composer, and he can put to music my ideas in a way that I don't have the same level of lubrication.
We do a lot of instrumental music for accompaniment for circus, vaudeville acts.
Oh,
and
nice.
Now we're going to start working with a television company based out of Los Angeles called Cassette LA.
It's a collective.
They find music for like HBO specials and things like that. So I'm not sure what position we're going to have, but we've been invited to join that collective, which is very exciting because we do a lot of traveling, but we'd like to do a little less traveling.
Looked somewhere. It said that you do 200 or more shows a year, which is a lot. That's
sometimes
a lot of time on the road.
Trend.
Yeah, we're aiming to do fewer with larger audiences this year.
Mm-hmm. So tell me more about your circus background, Aurelia. How did that start? And
I've been a dancer since I was 3, and when I was 14, I discovered single point low flying trapeze, which is not like the flying trapeze you see in the circus, but it's more like a dance meets trapeze option. And shortly thereafter, I started learning silks, which is like a type of fabric apparatus you can climb and do wraps and drops,
etc. Yeah, there's someone here in Duluth that does that sometimes.
Yeah, you'd see it. People are really familiar with Cirque du Soleil. There's a lot of silks performance in Cirque du Soleil. So I started doing that before it got quite so popular. And there's a group called Flam Chen, which is a pyrotechnic theater troupe based in Tucson, Arizona. And I worked with them for years as the aerial director and as one of the founding members of a circus school down there. And then I also worked with the Carpetbag Brigade, which is an acrobatic stilt troupe, also a physical theater troupe.
Mm-hmm.
They were based in the Bay Area. They've recently relocated to Prescott, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are groups I still work with. And I could go on and on about that. But most recently, I was down in Tucson performing as part of a finale for the All Souls Procession, which is a celebration of the dead. And it's entirely community powered, and it happens every November, usually the first weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So the Day of the Dead is it's a Mexican holiday in celebration of the dead. And so this is the All Souls Procession, which is similar to All Souls Day. It's promoting festal culture, which is the idea that we all just need the experience of coming together and celebrating as a community. There's no corporate sponsorship. There's no, no big money. It's all funded by the people, and it's all human-powered stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So people build big floats, and there's a giant urn that gets pulled through the streets, and people can put their prayers and their offerings for the dead in that. And then at the very end of the performance at the end, that urn is lifted, usually on a crane, and burned.
Wow.
And everybody gets to experience their offering going up together. And
mm-hmm.
This past year we had the Tucson Symphony Orchestra as our accompaniment, and we had fire performance and dance, and I was doing aerial. And
wow, that sounds amazing.
It's really fun. So
wow.
If you want to learn more about that, you can look at Many Mouths, One Stomach.
So you were Many Mouths, One Stomach.
Yeah, it's a nonprofit.
Okay, so you were doing that. What drew you into becoming a musical performer and doing that?
Sort of a lifelong goal. Like I said, I always wrote songs,
mm-hmm.
and I've dabbled with many different instruments. My mother's a French horn player and a music teacher, and of course I never wanted to learn anything about that when I was younger. And but I grew up in theater, and so it's an intrinsic part.
Okay, so the theater and the music go hand in hand.
They do, and mm-hmm. I felt when Jason and I met, and then I was drawn to his current music project at the time, which was called Barefoot Surrender. I found it so inspiring that I sort of ended up hitchhiking across the country to figure out where he had gone, and we sort of had a, I guess you'd call it a courtship, or maybe me just chasing him down over and over for a little while, and
stocky like
I started playing washtub bass because it's the most, it's a pretty simple, I have a good ear, but I didn't have to have much technical background to be able to accompany.
Right.
And it has that nice low end thumpy, you mm-hmm. can move to it and mm-hmm. dance to it. And that was back when we were a six piece.
We had a little jug band in the North Bay area. That was the beginning of Intuitive Compass. We were street performers, and we played open mics and small stages around the North Bay before we relocated to Southern Oregon, mm-hmm. where we've been based ever since.
Okay. All right. Well, let's hear another song, and then we'll come back and find out a little bit more. You have an album that came out last year, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's January.
All right. We'll
yes.
find out more about that. And,
so here's a song off that album, Intuitive Compass self-titled. This one's called High O Mountain. Thank you. prairie where the grass once grew so tall. Now all that's left is an old frack yard, and the grass don't grow at all. And the grass don't grow at all. Distance, hear a cold coyote call. She is calling for that special time when there will be no more law. And the whole damn thing will fall. There's a massive oil drill, and they drill down deep where the spirits sleep, and they drill until they spill a cup you cannot fill. Back up on the houseboat, there's a child sleeping still. Dreams of peace in a world on a better day, and a dream you cannot kill. Go by with that dollar bill. Find me on the mountain, I'll be high above the sea.
That is Intuitive Compass live from Studio A, and a tune from their latest album, which self-titled? Is that, am I seeing that right?
Self-titled.
Yeah. All right. And that came out last year. Is it? Have you had other albums before?
So this is our fourth...
Officially.
Fourth studio album.
Okay. Sometimes when it's self-titled, you never know. Is it their first one, or did they just pull that out later?
We didn't know what else to say about ourselves. We hadn't put an album out in 3 years, so we kind of... It took a while for us to evolve, you know, as it does for bands, to find our formula. Mm-hmm. And we kind of come back with this new sound. That's self-titled right there.
Well, so how did it change? How did it evolve?
Well, over the years, we've had a lot of different folks in and out of the band, and
there are a lot of people on this album. I just want to point out,
definitely.
Like,
that's
a lot of guests.
It's like our dream super band. If all of our friends lived in the same place,
there's not a whole lot of musicians to network with in the remote place we live in, Southern Oregon. We live in a small town called Williams, Oregon, which is not much more than a post office and a general store. And there's definitely not a lot of people playing folk music out there. So I grew up, you know, hitchhiking, hopping freight, playing folk music, busking around the country, mostly in the South. And when we decided to live in Southern Oregon full time, a large part of the reason we did that is because we were becoming parents, and we thought, well, we don't really want to raise our son in New Orleans or Nashville or Austin. We were more passionate about it, you know, doing it out in the woods. And I think what happened was, is a lot of our friends and people we played music with were at some point just other places eventually, and we thought, man, we're really going to have to figure this thing out as a duo. So we kind of grew into our sound, and we tour predominantly as a duet, but we'll bring in a lot of side musicians depending on where we're at.
Yeah, we have a lot of different percussionists, a few different fiddle players, a couple different bass players, the occasional clarinet. Or oboe.
Oh, I can hear that. Yeah.
Just to give our listeners an idea of what's going on in here, I'm playing the resophonic guitar, harmonica, kick drum, and vocal. Aurelia is playing accordion, service bells with her feet. That's what you're hearing there.
I was going to mention that because I love that. She came in and she put out an array of service bells. That's what they're called, those bells that you see in the restaurant when your order's up. And started, you know, putting them across the floor there. You know, like some people put down their pedals, she put down her bells. And so, I thought, I'm intrigued. I can't wait to hear what's happening here.
We like to sound like a couple more people are in the room aside from ourselves.
Yeah.
Are there any other instruments that come out when you're doing a show?
Sometimes a banjo, but this is pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Often Jason has a second guitar as well. Gets different sounds out of different guitars.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I bring a wash tub for old time's sake, but usually that's when we have a third musician with us.
Okay. Where did you actually make the album?
At a studio called Pacifica, which is a studio that was originally built in the 70s by Steve Miller. Hmm. And it's out in the Applegate Valley of Southern Oregon, which is not where you would expect to find a high-quality professional studio. And we had the great pleasure of working with Dennis Dragon, who recently passed away unexpectedly. And he was born in Hollywood and, you know, if you're familiar with the Captain and Tennille, mm-hmm. he was the captain's brother.
Oh,
so
right.
He recorded those albums and many others. He worked as a percussionist with the Byrds and the Beach Boys, and he had an amazing band called the Surf Punks, to name a few, and he was just...
Took a different approach than his brother, that's for
sure.
Yeah,
he was the salt of the earth, and it was really lovely. So both Jason's new solo album and our most recent album were recorded with him at the studio at Pacifica.
Oh, nice. Well, I'm sorry that you lost your friend.
Me too.
That's very sad. How did you get... Because I know nowadays, you can send people the music, and then they can send back their parts. Did you do that with some of these guests? Or did some
Most of
did they all want to come to the... Because I think it sounds like a wonderful place. Why would you not want to go there?
It's a great place to work.
So a couple of the folks on the album are living in that area, which was nice. Not that we can get them to come on tour, but... it was right down the street kind of deal.
Several were friends passing through, too.
Several folks were just passing through who we knew from being on tour and traveling about. And it was just that perfect storm. Oh, you're going to be here next week. I'm working on this album. We'll drop in.
Get you in on a couple tracks.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay.
There were two people from Northern Washington where we spend a fair amount of time. It's sort of a home away from home. One of them is a percussionist we work with sometimes. His name's Harper Stone. He plays with a band called Hot Damn Scandal. They're really fun if you want to check them out. But he played Baglama on one track on there, and he recorded it in Bellingham, Washington, and then sent the track in.
I have no idea what that is. Baglama?
It's like a tiny... I don't even want to say what it's like.
It's a lot like a mandolin.
Like its own thing. Yeah, it's like a tiny barrel-backed mandolin that has double strings, mm-hmm. and it's kind of high-pitched frequency. It sounds like it could be Middle Eastern or Celtic, but it's not quite either.
Okay, interesting.
It has a really nice sound.
We definitely do a lot of live recording, mm-hmm. just because we're from that old school thought. It's, that's where you get a lot of the feeling and the authenticity. So we actually started recording a new album while we've been visiting the Midwest at the Drum Farm over in Dunn County, Wisconsin. John Richardson, who moved up from Nashville, took a 100-year-old granary building and decided to convert it into a studio. We found out about him, and we went there and laid down some new live tracks that we'll be releasing as singles over the next couple months.
Wonderful.
Which is really exciting.
Mm-hmm. We weren't expecting to find a studio we were comfortable in so fast, mm-hmm. as our friend had just passed away, and that was very unexpected.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and it kind of takes some time to kind of readjust.
Absolutely.
Sometimes. We have time for one more. What do you want to wrap up with here?
I'd like to play a song called The Field Road Blues. I say Field Road out west. Not many people know what I'm talking about, but back here in the Midwest, I think we've all seen them.
Scoot all along.
I saw ice fall from the sky. I took a coyote track to the windmill and back when the blood in the snow caught my eyes. I saw some boys out hunting, but they weren't getting nothing. All the pheasants disappeared in the wind. And the wind keeps on biting, piercing and gripping, whipping and stripping, wearing and tearing at my skin. Following tracks I don't know, I got to find where they go. I got to get there someday and somehow. Woods 30 below, we got 6 feet of snow, and all I seek is right here and right now.
That is Intuitive Compass live from Studio A and Field Road Blues, right? Yep. Now, was that one on the album as well? Or is that... What?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, if you go to the show tonight, you can find some of those songs on their albums. And as we mentioned earlier, Jason has his own album. So Jason Day and Aurelia Cohen, right? And but Jason's solo album is Jason Day West. And yeah. So thank you so much. And they're playing tonight at Sir Ben's down there on Superior Street. And your first time playing in town, so I think this is going to be kind of fun.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having us, folks.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Chris Harwood and Emma Gilhausen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.